From the Washington Post comes word not just that Osama bin Laden eluded his American pursuers in the mountainous Tora Bora area of Afghanistan, but of how he did it. According to Post reporter Peter Finn, it involved a ruse by a devoted follower of bin Laden's. Peter Finn joins us from Casablanca in Morocco, which I guess is appropriate here because the man in question is Moroccan.
Yes, he's a Moroccan whose name is Abdellah Tabarak, who has first met bin Laden in the early 90s and has essentially been with him up until Tora Bora, becoming his chief bodyguard by the time bin Laden returned to Afghanistan from Sudan in 1995.
Well, take us back to the time when bin Laden was being pursued through that part of Afghanistan. What did Mr. Tabarak do for him?
Well, they decided that the United States was probably monitoring whatever communications equipment they had, and bin Laden had a satellite phone. So Tabarak decided to take the satellite phone, continue to use it, and move in the opposite direction from bin Laden to provide time and a little space for him to escape.
You mean he was a decoy, using the satellite phone, knowing that the Americans would be on his trail?
That is what Moroccan officials here have told me, and those same Moroccan officials have twice been to Guantanamo Bay, where Tabarak is now in custody. They have interviewed him, however, he is uncooperative, but they have also interviewed another Moroccan who was with him when they decided to do this and walked into their capture willingly.
Any idea how much time Osama bin Laden might have gained by his bodyguard using the satellite phone and being a decoy?
They didn't put an exact time on it, but it wouldn't be more than 24 hours tops.
But in this case, they think that might have been enough to permit bin Laden to escape into Pakistan from Afghanistan?
Well, people have spoken of that at that point, you know, a hard trek for 7 or 8 hours, and you're very close to refuge or sanctuary in the tribal areas of Pakistan.
Now, this man, the bodyguard, is, as you say, in Guantanamo, and you report, at least according to Moroccan officials, that he enjoys a very high esteem among his fellow prisoners there.
Yes, he's essentially established himself as the camp leader or emir of the prisoners being held. Obviously, his ability to exercise that authority, if you want to call it that, is limited, but he has called one-day fasts as a kind of symbolic act of defiance and as an expression of his authority.
You write today that Moroccan officials dispute an earlier Washington Post story that one of your colleagues actually talked about here on the program, that the U.S. was handing prisoners over to, among a few countries, Morocco, where they were either physically abused or tortured. The Moroccans deny that.
Correct. They insist that they have received no one who has been brought to Morocco from outside Morocco. They have arrested dozens of people inside Morocco or returning to Morocco from Afghanistan. But they say that no non-Moroccans have been brought in here for interrogation.
Although I gather from your story, they wouldn't mind interrogating Tabarak themselves.
They want Tabarak back. They believe that they have the cultural, religious, and other kinds of affinity with him to eventually persuade him to talk. And they are willing to employ psychological and other techniques to induce people to cooperate.
Well, Peter Finn, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Reporter Peter Finn of The Washington Post spoke to us from Casablanca in Morocco.